Y'all give Zach another hand.
All right. It sure is good to be here this morning. I hope you feel the same way. You know, because there's other countries right now, they can't even go to church without getting shot at. Wouldn't that be pretty scary? I mean, you just driving to church and they say, "Where are you going?" And they start shooting at you. Man, it's just a blessing. So I love being here singing for the Lord. It's probably one of my most favorite things to do other than being a dad and a husband. But, you know, that comes first in praising the Lord. So if y'all want to sing along, you know the songs, I'd love for you to join in. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst in my sight. Angels descending, break from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all day long. I'll be praising my Savior all day long. Thank you. So I just got to give my testimony real quick. You should know why I'm up here. When I was little, I grew up without a dad. He ran off and left. It was just me and my mom and my sister. And my mom always wanted me to play music, so she always made sure I had a guitar to play. And we didn't have much money growing up, but she always seemed to afford a guitar for me, so bless her for that. When I was 15, my mom got taken away in a tragic motorcycle accident. By the time I was 16, I was homeless and hungry and lost to the world and full of sin. I'd stand on my motorcycle seat 100 miles an hour and just ride as fast as I could. His arms out like this, just going as fast as I could. I had no reason to live, no care in the world, and I was lost as last year's Easter egg. Sorry, you can laugh at it. So I finally found my way, and it took a cowboy preacher and a cowboy church to fix that for me. And I started going to cowboy church, and I knew I fit right in right away because I wear my dirty old boots and my old hat. And, you know, my preacher, he just took right to me. He just welcomed me with open arms. And I asked him one day if I could play at church. And before, I used to play at bars and honky-tonks and nightclubs. Well, when I played at church, all the nerves that I used to have at those other stages went away. Not a single nerve in the world. It was all gone. I was at peace, and I knew right then and there that's where I was supposed to be. So I started playing for the Lord and playing at church, and then joined this talent show called American Christian Country Music Association. That's where I met Wesley and Mona. And came in second place at the talent show, but the guys that were running it, they said, "Don't worry about second place." I said, "We've got something better for you." So they took me to Nashville and got me a record deal and started recording. So now I get to sing and praise the Lord as much as I want to, just not as often as I want to, but, you know, every opportunity I get, I go and do it. So we got a couple songs released, coming out, and I'll play one later on for you today, but I just want to let you know it is a blessing to be here, and it is God's divine purpose for me to be here to worship with you guys this morning. So all my hope is in Jesus. And this is a song just about that. Well, I've been held by the Savior. Well, I fell far from above. Well, I've been down to the river. I ain't the same prodigal return. Oh, my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. Yes, all my sins are forgiven. Well, I've been washed by the blood. Yes, I've been washed by the blood. I'm no stranger to the prison. And I've worn shackles and chains. But I've been freed and forgiven. I'm not going back, I'll never be the same. That's why I sing, oh, my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. Oh, my sins are forgiven. 'Cause I've been washed by the blood. There's a kind of thing that just breaks a man. Breaks him down to his knees. God, I've been broken more than a time or two. Yes, Lord. Then he picked me up. He showed me what it means to be a man. Come on and sing. Oh, my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday is gone. Yes, all my sins are forgiven. Well, I've been washed by the blood. Oh, my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. Yes, all my sins, they're forgiven. 'Cause I've been washed by the blood. Oh, yeah, I've been washed by the blood. Now, let me ask you, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Raise your hand. Amen. God bless y'all. You know, that's one thing you can't take away. Is once you get it, it's yours. Amen. Why don't you help me sing this song here? Well, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed by the blood of the Lamb? Are all you fully trusting in His grace, yes, are you washed by the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. No, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? All your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? All your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Well, some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shores. I'll fly away. Well, I'll fly away, your glory. I'll fly away when I die. Hallelujah, bye bye. I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. Well, I'll fly away your glory. I'll fly away when I die. Hallelujah, bye bye. I'll fly away. So when I die, hallelujah, bye bye, I'll fly away.
Now we were, this is kind of a funny story. It is to me anyway. You might not. But so we were sitting in a hotel. And in Nashville, just got done recording, and you know something cool about Nashville. I don't know if you know this, but you get to work half days in Nashville, and so half days are actually 12 hours. So it's not as short as you think. So we were in the studio for a long time. I was tired, and my producer looks at me and says, "What's the best part of you?" And he was like asking me like your singing, your guitar playing, your stage, you know, stuff like that. I said, "Best part of me is Jesus, because I'm the worst part of me." He looked at me with two heads and said, "Well, I didn't expect you to say that. We should write a song about it." So we did, and this is it, and I hope you enjoy it. Lord, I'm not perfect. Some days I get lost. This world full of sins got me caught. Forgive to pray sometimes. Don't always give thanks. But you're still there waiting with your grace. 'Cause you're the best part of me. When times are hard, you know exactly what I need. You pick me up and put me right where I should be. 'Cause you're the best part of me. No one on earth could rescue me in the times when I don't believe. Lord, you give me strength when I'm feeling weak. You make me believe in you, I can do anything. 'Cause you're the best part of me. When
times are hard, you know exactly what I need. You pick me up and put me right where I should be. Cause you're the best part of me. Show me the narrow way, sometimes I miss. And put me back together when I get like this. You're the best part of me. When times are hard, you know exactly what I need. Pick me up and put me right where I need to be. Lord, you're the best part of me. Lord, you're the best part of me. Thank you.
And be praying for the Christian country genre. It's a little more popular right now out west and farther to the, northwest. But one of the radio station owners said that when he bought a radio station out there, they was going to go, it was doing contemporary music, and he realized how much country genre was listened to, and he says, we need to get the gospel message. So they revamped that, formatted that radio station to be able to play music so they can reach everybody. And that's what we're here for, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, and you can get that on your phone. See Mona after service and she'll show you the app and how to do that. I pray that as he's just saying here that you can honestly say that Jesus is the best part of you. If you don't know how lost you was without him, you'll never be able to experience that. And I pray also that you can say that all your hope is in Jesus, because your yesterdays are gone. And that's the most important question we can ask today. Have you been washed in the blood? Jesus, on the night before he died for the sins of the world, he was sent to this earth to be the satisfaction of God's righteous justice and God's love. So as he's been with the disciples for 3 years and he's coming to the cross, he celebrates the last Passover with his disciples, and they are reclining at the table, and as he's reclining at the table with them, he explains that something new is fixing to happen after the cross, after his burial, and after the resurrection. The Passover that they had celebrated from generation to generation since Exodus chapter 12. God had told them to celebrate that every year and to explain to their children how God, with an outstretched hand, had delivered his people out of the bondage of Egypt. And as they're celebrating this, Jesus says, guess what? It's something new coming. It's a new covenant. And as Jesus is there with them and he's sitting at the head of the table and he's reclining with them when he gets ready to celebrate this meal with them, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 26, it says, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Let us pray. Kind fathers, we come before you, Lord. We thank you for the new covenant given in your blood. Lord, as we pause this morning, we just want to be in remembrance of not only your physical pain, but also your spiritual separation, your sacrifice that you made in our place that we might be reconciled to God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I know we've celebrated the Lord's Supper many times, and today I just want us to think about how Jesus satisfies God's holiness, his justice, and his love. Jesus, while they was eating, if you know, remember the Passover, what had happened in chapter 12 of Exodus, when they were getting ready to exit out of Egypt, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. If you remember why the Israelites were supposed to leave Egypt, is so they could go out and worship God. And Pharaoh kept denying them to be able to go out and to worship God. God brought plagues on them. And the last plague was going to be the firstborn of every male, firstborn to every family in Egypt, whether you were Israelite or Egyptian, would die, was the last plague. But God told them to take and sacrifice. He gave them a sacrifice. He gave them a substitute to save their firstborn sons, the firstborn sons of their families and of their flock and of their herds. And that was to sacrifice an unblemished lamb, to give the body of that lamb, and then take some of the blood and put it over the doorpost of their house. And in Exodus chapter 12, verse 13, it says, "The blood shall be a sign for you on your houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." So God made a sacrifice, a substitute, and it was the blood. A lot of y'all remember the old song, "When I See the Blood." Y'all remember that? I remember being in Christian school when I was in the fourth grade, and that was one of the songs we sung about twice a week. "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." So they were hid under the blood that's on the doorpost from the wrath of God. There was a sacrifice. So when Jesus says here to the disciples during this Passover, the Passover was a memorial to this act that happened in Egypt, and they would drink of the wine to represent the blood. They would eat the bread to represent how hastily God took them out of Egypt. They wasn't to put leaven in the bread, because if they put leaven in the bread, it wouldn't have time to rise. So that's why they ate unleavened bread. Later he come to teach that, you know, if you have leaven, you know, a little bit of sin can mess up a whole lot of house. That's another lesson for another day, though. But the purpose of the bread was to show how quickly the Lord delivered them. The purpose of the wine or the blood was to remind them that they are hid under the blood. Now, Hebrews tells us that God passed over the sins, previous sins, by the shed blood of animals and goats. But in these last times, Jesus Christ, a better sacrifice, was sacrificed for us. So what bloods and goats and calves couldn't do, Jesus Christ did. In other words, there was a sacrifice every year during this Passover so that we could make it another year without God's wrath on us. But when Christ died, Peter, after the resurrection, said that he died once for all sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. So it is one sacrifice for Jesus Christ. So when Jesus here broke the bread and blessed it, he thanked God for it and gave it to the disciples. He said, "Take, eat, this is my body." His body was given as a sacrifice for us. We see in the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus was suffering there. We see that it was a spiritual suffering. But if many of you have seen Mel Gibson's The Passion of Christ, his movie, The Passion of Christ, and in that, it really depicts the physical agony of the pain, the suffering that Jesus went through. Can you imagine being beaten? Can you imagine being ridiculed, being betrayed, being spit on? Your flesh is torn, you strip naked, and then you nail to a tree as a curse. Jesus' body become a curse for us. Everything we deserved, Jesus took. He was our substitute. He was our substitute in that he died on the cross for us. He received the punishment that we deserved. He was a substitute. His blood was shed for us. He says here that this is my blood, which is given for you. He says, take this cup of the new covenant. Now, in Exodus chapter 24, Moses goes and gets the commandments of God, and he brings them to the people. He says, guess what? God has delivered you. He's made you his people, and here's the rules, the Ten Commandments. Y'all know them. I'll summarize them. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. That summarizes the ten, okay? And Moses says, so if you choose to obey God, you'll be blessed. If you choose to live your way, you'll be cursed. There's a good way and a bad way. There's God's way and your messed up way. And the elders and the people says, we have heard and we'll do this. Moses took the blood of a sacrifice and sprinkled it on the people, making a covenant with them, saying, God is our God, and we are his people, and we'll obey him. Now, you know that went really well for about less than 40 days. Moses didn't even get back down from the mountain. Amen? And sin entered the world again. But this sprinkling, when Jesus says, my shed blood, first of all, he is our sacrifice. Instead of our blood being shed, Jesus shed his blood. And when he shed his blood, Hebrews 9:22 says there's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. We all deserve death. We understand that from Romans chapter 3. When Jesus shed his blood in our place, when we come to believe in his shed blood on the cross, we are hid under his blood, just like them people was hid in the house with the blood over the doorpost. He is our sacrifice. He died in our place. But he's also our propitiation. Romans chapter 3, verse 25 says that God displayed Christ as our propitiation for the forgiveness of sin. He publicly displayed Christ on the cross. Now, let me explain what propitiation means. When I was young, I used to ride horses all around where Jordan Lake is now, because they closed the farms, they moved everybody off, and they was building the lake, and they was building that dam. And it was a pretty good ways from the house, but I could get down there, but I was, I guess, too young and didn't know I wasn't supposed to be down there. I got in trouble one time because I got caught riding across where they was building the dam, and I guess I didn't know when you're six, you ain't supposed to wander off that far from home, amen? Everybody was looking for us. But I remember them building that dam, and as they was building the dam, when it was getting almost finished, I'd hear a lot of the old people say, well, I was talking to some of the engineers down there, and that dam's got a crack in it. And that dam, when it bust, it is going to wipe Federal out. I heard that and heard that. So then I was scared to ride across it, right? Because I'm like, this thing might go anytime, even though it won't filled up. Well, I don't know how many of y'all go fishing for striper down there, and now they even got a pier out there you can walk on. But I was thinking about it one day when I was down there with some friends on the spillway of that dam. That dam is huge when you look at it. And if you was standing there, can you imagine that dam bursting and all that water from Jordan Lake sweeping over you at one time and taking you on down the Hall River, which becomes the Cape Fear River, and wiping you out. Now, Jesus is standing between my sin, between your sin, and God. As propitiation, the dam of God's wrath, God's indignation against sin. God is holy. Sin cannot come in His presence. God hates sin. Psalm 5:15 says that God hates those who do iniquity. Why? Sin stuck to you. We, according to 2nd chapter of Ephesians, are children of wrath. What are we waiting on? We're waiting on the dam to bust and all of God's wrath to be poured out on us. Yet Jesus stepped in front of it. And on the cross, when God poured out all His punishment against all the sin in all the world, Christ absorbed it. So think about it. You're standing here. There's the Jordan Lake Dam. It burst. That water's coming towards you, and Jesus steps in front of you like a sponge that absorbs every bit of it, and you stand there, and nothing happens to you. When you trust in Jesus Christ for forgiveness, you no longer are afraid of God. You hear Him say, "Come, my son, and feel my love." God has to punish sin because He's holy, but He's also loving. The only way He could show us His love is if He did away with our sin and He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, in flesh. He gave His body as a sacrifice in our place, a substitution, and then He absorbed all the punishment we deserved. And Jesus says to the disciples, when you eat this bread and drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me. Paul says that when we do the Lord's Supper in remembrance of Jesus, that we proclaim His substitutional atonement until He comes. We proclaim the gospel until He comes. When we take of the Lord's Supper today, when you leave, when somebody asks you today, what'd y'all do at church? You ought to say, I remembered that Jesus died in my place. Think about it. In the tabernacle, later the temple, in the Holy of Holies, where God's presence dwelled, there was a veil that separated the people and the priest from the Holy of Holies, from God's presence, and it was thick because it represented our sin and how our sin kept us from God. When Christ died on the cross, it said the veil of the temple was torn from the top to the bottom, granting us access into God's presence. When Jesus' body was beat, broken, torn, and hanging on the cross, and He said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, and He breathed His last and said, it is finished, and He bowed His head and the temple was torn. His torn body gave us access to the love of God. When Jesus says, this is the blood of the new covenant. The new covenant in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 30 and following, not only says, will He pour His Spirit into us, but it also says, then you'll become my people and I'll become your God. What was promised back here in Exodus that was messed up, and God had already told Abraham that a descendant of yours will be a blessing to all the families of the earth. When He's talking about the people of Israel, He's talking about one true Israelite named Jesus Christ, who lived on this earth without sin and never disobeyed the Father and come to complete His will. Yet He died in our place so that we could be the people of God and God could be our God. When you think about the blood in the cup, you think Jesus' body was beaten and nailed to a cross and torn so that I could enter into the presence of God. His blood was spilt because I deserved to die, but His blood also sprinkled a covenant promising if I believe in Him, I can forever be in the presence of God. On the cross, when Christ breathed His last and gave up His spirit, and the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, it says the earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs were opened. Many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep was raised. And coming out of the tombs after His resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. There's a lot of speculation about what this means about these bodies being raised after Jesus' resurrection and coming into the city. But here's what it means. When Christ died for our sins and was resurrected, He reconciled us to God and promised to give us eternal life. And this that happened at His resurrection, it happened to show that He can give life to the dead. That's the point of that. And also, when Jesus says here, drink of this, and I will not drink the fruit of the vine anymore until I drink it anew in the kingdom of my Father. Jesus is talking about after He dies, buried, and is resurrected, He's ushering in the kingdom of God and a new covenant. We no longer have to try to obey every rule and worry about God punishing us because Jesus has already took our punishment. Now we enjoy the love of God and we serve God and obey Him out of love instead of out of obligation. Does that make sense? Do we still sin? Yes, as Zach sung. Hey, the best part of me is Jesus. But Jesus is there and He's poured His Spirit into us. Ezekiel chapter 36 goes right along with the Lord's Supper. He poured His Spirit into us so that we can obey His ordinances and keep His instruction. He helps us and lives with us. When we participate in the Lord's Supper, say, do this in the remembrance of Jesus. Jesus not only forgive me, He give me a new life, and He helps me live that life pleasing to Him. One other thing, because we talked so much about the physical pain Jesus suffered. I want you to think about it in the Garden of Gethsemane. When He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, He takes His trusted disciples, Peter, James, and John with Him, and He tells them to be praying and said here, while I go over there to pray, He's already told them, you need to be on the watch, you need to be paying attention, and you know they go to sleep, and you know what happens. But it says that He went a little beyond them and fell on His face praying, and says, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as You will. When He's talking about letting His cup pass from Him, He's talking about Psalm 75 and other places in the Bible, including Revelation chapter 14, where it talks about the cup in the Old Testament and New Testament. The cup of God is the wrath of God being poured out. Part of the wrath of God against sin is that we're separated from sin. Do you remember what Jesus said on the cross? Father, Father, why have You forsaken me? He wasn't saying God had forgot Him. He was saying that He was separated spiritually from God. Before we're saved, we are spiritually separated from God. If we die in our sins, we are eternally separated from God. Jesus not only took the pain and the beatings that we saw in the movie, The Passion of Christ. But I don't know of any way a movie could help us understand what Jesus spiritually suffered on our behalf. Think of what you hate the most in the world, whatever it might be. I know for Mike Graham, it's okra. I know that for a fact. I didn't know it till Miss Linda tricked us all into giving him okra for his birthday. Now I'll never forget it, right? I want Mike to imagine that for the rest of his life, 3 meals a day, he gets okra. Stewed okra, fried okra, boiled okra, any kind of okra, pickled okra. All he gets is what he hates most in life. Jesus, for hours, hung on a cross. What did he hate most? Sin. But his sin, he was sinless, and our sin, 1 Peter says, he bore in his body on a cross. What Jesus hated most, he suffered for hours. It says from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock, from noontime really to 6, he suffered. Part of that suffering, though, was spiritual because he was separated from God. My God, why have you forsaken me? Said the sky turned dark and the ground quaked. All of creation knew that their creator was dying to redeem it. And Christ is separated from God so we don't have to be. Do you remember before you got saved, that emptiness you had, that darkness that was always over you, no matter how much money you made, no matter how much you played, how much you worked, no matter what you did, you could never quite be happy. You was always kind of alone. Something was missing. His name is Jesus. Jesus suffered on the cross, separated from God. He knows exactly what we're missing when we don't come running to Him saying, "We love you, Jesus. You're my everything. You're the best part of me." And when we do the Lord's Supper, it's so that we can remember that Jesus suffered spiritually and physically to be our substitute and our propitiation. In Revelation, it says that those who have not accepted Christ, that they will drink from the cup of the wrath of God mixed to the fullness and strength of the wine. Can you imagine our loved ones and our friends that has not accepted Christ, what it'll be like for them when God pours out all His anger, His righteous anger on sin? Shouldn't we be sharing the gospel with them? It's when Jesus says in Luke chapter 22, as often as you do this, He tells the disciples, do it in remembrance of me. Do you remember what they did when Christ was resurrected? 12 men turned the world upside down. In less than 60 years, they'd taken the gospel across the whole world, proclaiming Jesus as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. That's what we must do. Let us pray. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you know your sin has kept you separated from God. There's little things in your life that you don't want to admit to anybody, including God. Today's the day of your salvation. You just have to say, Jesus, I believe you lived the life that I should have lived. You died the death I deserve, and you was resurrected to give me a new life. Jesus, I want you to be the best part of me. Jesus, take my life and set me free. If you've prayed that, you're saved. You need to share that with me or somebody else today. Let them know. Also, let them know so they can explain to you about baptism. If you're a Christian, you've been a Christian a long time, but you've just been kind of going through life, not really being appreciative of what Christ has done for you. As we partake of the Lord's Supper today, as you take the bread, I want you to think about the body of Christ that was torn so that you could enter into the presence of God. He was beaten with the whipping that you deserved. His shed blood covers all your sins so that you are clean before God. Revelation says that the blood of the Lamb washes us white as snow. I want you right now just silently say, Lord Jesus, thank you that your blood washes me white as snow. so without blemish I can come into the presence of God. Kind Father, we just thank you now that you've left us with this worship, the worship of partaking in the Lord's Supper, so that as often as we do this, we'll remember what you've done for us, but also we can proclaim the gospel until you return for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll ask, if you will, if you can get a hold of that clear wrapper and pull it back and get the wafer. And when you get it, just kind of hold it up and I'll know that everybody has it. There's no hurry, no rush. Kind Father, we just thank you that you sent your Son, born of a virgin, birthed in a manger, who in all his godness took on flesh and gave his body in our place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus says, as often as you eat this bread, do it in remembrance of me, because this is my body, which is given for you. Take, eat of it. Will remove the top from your cup. Probably might just want to pull it back. If you pop it off, it might spill on you. Jesus says, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the forgiveness of sin of the many. Take, drink of it in remembrance of me. Kind Father, we just thank you for the shed blood of Christ, that Lord, by the shed blood of Christ, we are hid from the wrath of God. We are hid from our old life, and Lord, now we've been made friends of God. Thank you that we no longer have to be afraid of the coming judgment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take, drink all of it. The text says that after this, they sung a song and they went out. I'm going to ask Zach if he'll come sing another song.
Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate the sermon. It was really good, really good. I needed that. This song, pretty old one. If you'll stand with me and we'll sing this song here. If you know the words, please sing along. It's a good old tune. I've been playing it for a little while now. And this is one of the songs that gets me every time. If I start crying during this song, y'all just forgive me. You know, Jesus wept, so take that up with him. He, grown men do cry, and that's all right. This is How Great Thou Art. I hope you enjoy it.
Oh, Lord, my God,
I an awesome wonder, sit around the works thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, how throughout the universe display. And then sings my soul, my Savior God today, how great thou art, how great thou art. And then sings my soul, my Savior God today, how great thou art, how great thou art. Went through the woods, and forest glades I wander. I hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. And I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, see the brook, and I feel the gentle breeze. And then sings my soul, my Savior God today, how great thou art, how great thou art. And then sings my soul, my Savior God today, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son, that Spirit, sent him to die, but I scarce can take it in, that on that cross my burdens gladly bearing, let him away my sins. Then sings my soul, my Savior God today, how great thou art, how great thou art. And then sings my soul, my Savior God today, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation, and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. And I shall bow in humble adoration, and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. And then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God today, how great thou art, how great thou art. God bless you all.
Thank you. I hope that the Lord's Supper today will bring into remembrance and that song that every time you think of God not sparing his Son, that you can scarcely take that in. We can never appreciate our salvation till we realize the sacrifice that God made. Paul says that we know if we believe in Jesus, we're going to heaven because God gave his best to redeem us. So how much less would God give to get us to heaven? That's the promise that we have. Let us pray. Kind Father, as we close, I ask that right now you just reach down. with the warmth of your love, the strength of your grace, and just let each person in this room and each person listening on the radio or on the internet, they'd feel your touch. They'd know that you not only love them, but you care for them and you walking beside them so that when they fall, you can pick them up. Lord, I just pray that we will share that with someone today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all remember to keep Zach in your prayers as his ministry goes forward, him and his family. And we don't pass the offering plates right now because of COVID, but the buckets is at the front and the back. Thank y'all for coming, and thank you for supporting the church. Amen.